Now, can you turn, please, to the book of Ruth in chapter 1? Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud, and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then give birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the woman exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. And we trust that God will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. Now when we get away from the Lord, when we find ourselves estranged from our God, it's amazing how long we have away from God. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Christian found his way to God, but the going was very tough because of the burden that he had on his back. In this book of Ruth, we find another pilgrim, Naomi, making her way back to God, but the going was tough because for 10 years she stayed away in defiance of God. What was only to be, they said, for a little while, according to verse 1, became 10 years.
10 years of rebellion, and that came at a great personal cost to Naomi. Getting away from God spiritually makes no sense at all for us. But we constantly fall into that kind of trap.
I get the signals from the back that something has gone wrong. I see what it is. Getting from God spiritually makes no sense for us all, but we constantly fall into that kind of trap. Proverbs says that the way of the unfaithful is hard. Getting back to God is hard. At the beginning, suspecting that there might be something wrong or shady about what you do or are about to do, you do it anyway, but you decide that it'll just be for a little while. A little while on the wild side. But the further that we find ourselves away from God, the more able we are to push ourselves further and further away. We get used to disobedience, and we can multiply disobedience upon disobedience. Some big incidents in our lives might occur that perhaps would reduce us to tears, to make us think about the possibility of coming back to God. But for the most part, we just reconcile ourselves to the fact that we are where we are, and we're just going to cruise, we're just going to hover just where we are, in the spiritual wilderness, barren, empty, far away from God, just though close enough still to hold on to that respect for the claim that we are Christians, but far enough away not to become committed. Today we're going to see in this book of Ruth a child of God who came back to God. This book that we call the book of Ruth really has Naomi as the main character. All the other characters are important, of course, but they are important in the story only to the extent that they help us by adding something to our understanding about what is happening in the life of Naomi. The other characters, if you like, are support characters for the main character, Naomi. Now please understand what I'm saying here. This is a true story. These are real people, and in their own right, they are important, and God deals with each of them as individuals. We are not saying that their role in life is not important. We are concerned about what gives color and shape to this book, this story of in the book of Ruth. This book is given to us to teach us certain truths about God, and it has given us information about certain characters in order to flesh out our understanding of how God is willing to work in Naomi's life. Now, I'm not saying that we should not take an interest in Ruth or that we should somehow dismiss Boaz. What I'm saying is that the story of Naomi's life, that's what is at the center. How she went away from God. Naomi herself says, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. And the book of Ruth is about how God fills that emptiness. You will notice that at the end of every chapter there is a harvest of one kind or another. And when we get to chapter 4, we will see an abundant harvest there. And that now, and the women of the country who were aghast when they saw Naomi, they exclaimed, can this be Naomi? She's been away for 10 years, but she seems to have aged 30 years. Can this really be her? And those same women that exclaimed when they saw the contours of the wrinkles on her face, they are able to exclaim in chapter 4 that Naomi has a son. Not really her son at all. It's Ruth's son. But she is the main character, and it's presented that God has blessed her. And when we get to chapter 4, we'll see just to what extent God has indeed blessed her. Now, I know that Elimelech and the two adult sons probably played a part in the decision to go to Moab. But the story is not about them. It's about Naomi. And we could only merely guess what the attitudes might have been. But the story is not concerned with them. It's concerned with the mysterious hand of providence as God works in Naomi's life. Clearly the move to Moab was a wrong move. It was a mistake. Naomi is not just some hapless victim, though. As far as the focus of this book is concerned, she is away. She has gone away from the place of promise. And what we see is that though she has been afflicted, though the Lord has put out his hand against her, she comes back to shelter under the wing of Almighty God. We need to know some of the details of Ruth and Boaz, their romance and marriage, and about little baby Obed. But people in Bethlehem are not talking about Boaz. They're not talking about Ruth. The very climax of the story is that people say Naomi has a son. Every chapter begins talking about Naomi. So it's the movement in her life that we will be interested in. When other characters do something, we're going to want to know what effect that's going to have in Naomi's life. Every incident will reflect back on her life. This story, if you like, is a little cameo of the life of the whole people of God at that time, in the time of the judges. A life and experience that God had spoken about in the book of Deuteronomy. The first chapter of Ruth is structured like so many of the Psalms. The most significant part is actually in the middle. The middle acts as a turning point. The beginning sets the scene of the lament or the incident or the story, and the middle shows us the response of God, and the end shows the result of that response. This chapter begins in Bethlehem, and it ends in Bethlehem. And a typical Hebrew would know that this was a technique of the author. When you have the same beginning and ending, it's a little clue there in the text. Let's go to the middle and see what the main point is. This chapter begins in Bethlehem, it ends in Bethlehem, and we are curious, what's the center point of the chapter going to be? And we actually see that the center point is these women returning. Now, as I said last time, there are 11 or 12 different occurrences of the word return. You can be in no doubt as you read Ruth chapter 1 that the idea that the author is putting across is the need for Naomi to return. It's playing in the background as the narrative moves forward. Now, there are three stages in the journey here in chapter 1. And we looked at the first stage, our journey last week. That journey was from Bethlehem to Moab. And we described that as the backslider's journey. They were turning away from the place of God's provision. They should have understood that when there's family, when there's no bread in the house of bread, because that's what the name Bethlehem means. It means house of bread. Isn't it strange? Shouldn't it cause you to pay attention? When there's no bread in the house of bread, where would you go to? You would go to the book of Deuteronomy and see what God says. When there's famine in the land, I am punishing you. What should you do? You should confess your sins. You should return to the Lord. But instead of that, they left on this backslider's journey to go to Moab. They were turning away from the place where God had put them. They should have understood that this really was a signal from God, that he was displeased in the way that they were living their lives, and they ought to have turned to God rather than turning away from him. But instead of turning to God, this little covenant family, they took the backslider's journey, and they wandered away from the place where God had promised to bless them. We saw that Moab was a godless place. We saw that the scriptures had a lot to say about the kind of people that lived there. It was no place for a child of God. And then we saw how in that spiritual desert, how the hand of the Lord went out against Naomi and it afflicted her life. In verse 13 it says, The Lord's hand has gone out against me. Don't call me Naomi, because that name means pleasant. Don't call me pleasant, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. She's not at this stage making an accusation against God. She's facing the reality that the Lord's hand has gone out against her. In the Hebrew language, it's a little bit more terse than we read it in our English translation. Fool, I went away that the Lord might fill me. Fool, I went away empty. The Lord has brought me back. The second journey is the first leg, if you like, of the homeward journey from Moab to a crossroads of decision somewhere between Bethlehem and Moab. And then the third stage is the second leg of the homeward journey, where Naomi and Ruth return eventually to Bethlehem. And it's the return journey that we want to focus on here this morning. The idea, as I said, of return is all over the chapter. The structure of the chapter, beginning in Bethlehem and ending in Bethlehem, it speaks of return. And the author engages in a play on the word return throughout the chapter. And to the Hebrew who is used to this kind of literary device, they'll get the message loud and clear that the theme is about return. And that is what we need to do. We need to return. We need to hear that echo of the word return in the chapter and realize that the thing that we need to do this morning is ourselves, that we need to come back to God. We need to be restored to Him. Of course, the storyline is return, returning to the Lord. In fact, verse 22 is much more emphatic. It begins, returned Naomi. Returned Naomi. While Naomi is in Moab, the sparse details of her affliction are provided for us in very terse prose, but just enough to move our hearts and to feel something of the agony and the terror of her situation. If we really feel this woman's anguish and her heartbreak at losing her husband, then losing one son, then another, then we really feel for her. And we'll surely want to ask the question, why has God dealt so brutally with her? Why such a blow? Could it not have been easier for Naomi? Now why we will learn to love Naomi through this story, and why we will come to this story with a picture of our loving Heavenly Father, we will actually see how gently He deals with her. We said last time that this book of Ruth is a kind of a link book, if you like, between the judges and the kings in the book of Samuel. What God is doing here, He's putting a building block in place as He builds the kingdom of God. This is a part of the narrative of the history of redemption. God has this big plan of salvation in view, but He also has in view His child, Naomi. He wants to bring her back and He wants to bless her. And we will see that while this book starts with such a difficult experience for Naomi, it will close, I think, in a way that Naomi possibly doesn't understand. When we actually see that Obed, that from that family, King David is going to come, and ultimately from that family, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come, I think Naomi probably closed her eyes in death, just thanking God that she had a son, without actually realizing that God has done much more than just a son. He's provided a king. He has provided the history of redemption, where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come from this little family. Naomi, I know, knows today in heaven how God has really blessed her. She understands exactly. Lord, when I was back there in the fields of Judah, I didn't get it, just how much you had blessed me. And that's the same for us. We do not realize how much God has blessed us. And when in heaven we see the Lord Jesus Christ as He is, then we will realize how much He has blessed us, how much hope, how much restoration God has worked in our lives. So while she is in Moab, we're given little details, but just enough to let us know that she has been chastened by the Lord. She says of the Lord that He has made her life bitter. Now, she's not saying that she's a bitter person. That's obvious from her decision to return to the Lord. But she has accepted, without accusation, what God has done in her life. And she is now taking the appropriate steps, and she's coming back to God. How can you be a God of love and grace and do this? God can do this because God is God and we are not. God can do this because God is God and we are not. It's interesting to notice that Naomi says that the Lord's hand has gone out against me. Where does she want to put herself? She wants to put herself firmly back into the hand of God. The one who has made my life very bitter, the one whose hand has gone out against me, I want to be in His hands. I want to be under the shelter of His wing. In the midst of her difficulty, in the midst of her bitterness, Naomi is learning that God is a gracious God, and that the safest place for the child of God to be is under the shelter of the wing of Almighty God. In Deuteronomy, the people were told, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be His people, His treasured possession." For 10 years, Naomi is in the field of Moab. But she is still the Lord's treasured possession. He will not let her go. He will not forsake her. And this message comes, return, return, return. Return to the Lord. You are His treasured possession. Yet the prophet Isaiah said, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." Imagine yourself as that clay, as that lump of clay is thrown down onto the potter's wheel, as that clay is molded and shaped. It's painful. It's not easy. But God is the potter, and we are the work of His hand. God is God, and we are not. He is the potter. He is the creator. He is the maker. He is the one who has given us life. He has a right to do in our lives whatever He wills. And when we come and yield to Him, we submit to that. But so often we resist. Naomi certainly resisted. For 10 years, she resisted. She went away from the place that God had provided for them, the land of promise. When it wasn't going well, the thing to do was not to run. The thing to do was to pray and to confess their sins. This treasured covenant possession had wandered away. Holiness did not characterize the move. And the call to return to covenant faithfulness, to return to obedience, to return to serve the Lord with all our mind, with all our heart, with all our strength. We have got to see and understand the horror of what it's like being away from the Lord. Sin and disobedience and unbelief, they have dire consequences. They have far-reaching effects in our lives. The God who afflicted Naomi is the same God whom we have to deal with today. But we in our age have a totally cavalier attitude towards sin. We ought to see sin the way that God sees it. And we can learn something about how God sees sin by studying how he deals with Naomi. This wrong in her life that has kept her at a distance. She yet is God's treasured possession. You as a child of God are God's treasured possession. He has bought you with a great price. The blood of Jesus, God's own Son, has been shed upon the cross in order that you might be bought out of sin. And at such a high price, you are God's treasured possession, and he will do with us what he wills. When we sin, when we walk away in unbelief, we need to know that all that we can do is return and cast ourselves before a holy and a merciful God. I know we would like to negotiate. I know we would like to debate the terms of our surrender to God. But we cannot debate, we cannot negotiate. The message to Naomi is this: return, return, return. 12 times in the chapter. That echo is coming. Return to the Lord. Let us begin to see the mercy and the grace of God as it reaches out to Naomi, his treasured possession. In the midst of her inexplicable grief and affliction, a message of grace and mercy reaches her. An invitation reaches her. God has been working in Naomi's life like the potter's hand, transforming Naomi's heart, softening it, melting it, and now she's ready to hear the good news. In verse 6, when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. In the midst of her grief and pain, Naomi was able to hear good news. Now the sad thing is this: when our hearts are away from God and we're suffering, sometimes we harden our hearts and we don't want to hear good news. 10 years had passed before Naomi's heart was ready to accept good news. Her readiness of heart is a gift of God in itself. The good news is the Lord has intervened and he's come to the aid of his people. The Lord got his message through to her. Naomi, I am blessing. Return, I am blessing. Come home. But Lord, where I have been is a terrible place. The people here, the influence, everything that I have been involved in, what I have seen, what I have said, what I have thought, what I have done, and what will it be like back home? Will my house even be there? What will the people say when they see me? How can I face everyone? For 10 long years I have been away. But there were no such questions. There were no such comments. Here is a heart that has been won by the love and the grace of God, and nothing can be as bad as being away from the Lord. I'm coming home. I'm returning to shelter under the wing of the Almighty. Where does that message of return find you today, this morning? What a message of love and forgiveness. Naomi, just come back and share in the blessing. There is blessing here for you. Return, my child. The necessity for Naomi to return in repentance is rooted in God's condemnation of sin in the law. But the motivation that brings Naomi and us to repentance is always rooted in God's covenant mercy. Somewhere between Moab and Bethlehem, Naomi stops, and this becomes, if you like, a kind of crossroads of decision. It's a turning point in each of their lives. Naomi sends the girls back to Moab, back to their family, back to the paganism, back to their false gods. What is she doing? I don't understand. You tell me Naomi is coming back to the Lord. This sounds like bad advice. This sounds strange advice from a woman who has just renewed her faith in God. Naomi is downright discouraging to these girls. Don't return with me. That's like you becoming a Christian and you say to your friends, go back to the world. Don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What is going on in Naomi's life? Similar things to what goes on in our lives. We're just inconsistent. We're weak. Even though we take a step forward, it doesn't mean that everything is perfect. Sometimes the commentators build Naomi up to be almost like an angel of light. She's not. She's earthy. She's like us. She does a good thing, but then she falters. We're going to find that Naomi, out of her mouth comes some really bad advice. But God, in His mercy, He's overruling. He's blessing her. She is His treasured possession. He will not let her go. If you return with me, you will find that I can guarantee you nothing. Return to your own land and you will find a husband, you will have children. If you return with me, there is no guarantee of these things. We would expect that our hero, our heroine, if that's what she is, that she would be flawless in her behavior and advice. But she's not like that, and we're not like that. Sometimes we build these characters up larger than life, and they seem so distant from us that we can never aspire. Lord, I want to return, but we would feel if we built Naomi up, we would say, I just don't have the passion and the desire that she has. We see that she falters. We see that she makes mistakes. But yet the Lord overrules. Who's the hero in the book of Ruth? There's only one hero. And that is God. We see the hand of God blessing. Whether unwittingly or planned, Naomi is spelling out what is involved in abandoning ourselves to the grace of God. Nothing else can be guaranteed to us except that God's grace is sufficient for all our needs. You can't negotiate here with God, girls. You have to commit all. You must come trusting Him. There's no contract. How often we sin and we weigh the costs. What will it mean for me if I obey? What will it mean for me if I return? The Scriptures teach me about obedience. But I want to work it all out before I obey. Naomi says, girls, there are no guarantees. If you come with me, you'll have to trust solely in God's grace. Maybe there's some other crossroads that you are hovering at today. And you want to work it all out. You want more than just trust in God. Just trust in God is not good enough for me. I need something real and tangible. God says there are no guarantees. Accept the promise of my covenant love. And I want you to trust in that and follow me and return to me. Naomi is inviting them to do what her family had failed to do so many years ago. She's inviting them to count the cost of what it means to belong to God. It could mean no husband, no provision, no security, no children, no future, just God. Naomi's heart is the heart of a changed woman. She has been changed in a way that perhaps many of us need to be changed. Naomi has yielded without reservation to God. come what may, Lord, I'm coming back to you. And she opens her heart to tell the girls what total commitment to the Lord is going to look like. For Naomi, her path from the crossroads is leading to the Lord. But what about Orpah? Her husband is moved. She's weeping. She's kissing Naomi. But what's she doing? She's turning back. She's moved with emotion, but the cost is too great. And we're like that at times, moved to tears, convicted by the challenge, but we never move on because it's too costly. Maybe she's away back to think it through, work it all out, plan her strategy. I don't think she's ever seen again in Bethlehem. She just marches off the pages of the Bible. But how different with Ruth? Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where I go, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging. Ruth's heart had been changed. But the pessimism of Ruth's language, I think, is striking here. Her declaration was not motivated by this prospect of a better life with Naomi, who had already informed her how hopeless her own fate was. In speaking about death and burial, rather than life and prosperity, she was simply casting her lot in with her mother-in-law. She was ready to walk through the dark valleys that lay ahead. And we know that from the language that she uses, that this is covenant language. It is the language of conversion. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Ruth, no doubt, had seen the hand of God afflict Naomi's life. But she wants to place herself into that hand as well. She has seen something of how God has dealt with her mother-in-law. But she wants to shelter under the shadow of his wing. Whatever the cost, she wants to be under the protection of Almighty God. Without hesitation or reservation, Ruth, with consecration that is both to the Lord and to the Lord's people, Ruth is gloriously converted. If Naomi still has questions about why, Lord, did you allow this to happen to me? Why such bitter experience? She now can see that part of the answer to that experience is Ruth. However, she seems to only partly grasp what this means. Strangely, there is not a single word from Naomi to show that she is prepared to return the love that Ruth is showing. Naomi just seems to shrug her shoulders and to accept, well, if you're going to come, you're going to come. Has Ruth just chosen the path that leads to emptiness? A missionary family had been working with a tribe for a number of years, and there had been no conversions, there had been no blessing. And apart from the disappointments of the missionary work, the couple were personally distressed because they never had any children. What a wonderful day it was when the wife told her husband that she was going to have a baby. And when her full term came, a little baby was born. And the missionary couple were the talk of the village. It didn't take very many weeks to discover that this little baby, this little child, was handicapped. That was the final straw for this couple. They couldn't take it anymore. They advised the mission board that they were coming home. They couldn't understand how God could do this. They'd gone through Bible college. They had gone through language learning. They had invested so much, but not one conversion. In their marriage, it seemed as if they were never going to have a child. And then when they have a child, this child is so badly handicapped. They'd left their homes, their jobs, to come to this awful place. And they had worked their hearts out. And now look what had happened. In the weeks when they waited for arrangements to be made to take them home, the tribe's people started to get converted. Lives were being changed. It turned out that the tribe would have put such a deformed baby to death. And here was a couple that loved this little handicapped child. And God moves the heart of the people to inquire about the missionary's God. Ruth had looked and seen the hand of God go out against Naomi. But she learned to see something also of the love and the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. She wants to shelter under the shadow of His wing. God was working death in the life of Naomi, but He was working life in Ruth. We can't simply postulate a simple equation in Naomi's life of she has sinned and therefore she's suffering. Because God's great purpose in her life has not been to punish her. God's great purpose in her life has been to bless her. But in the mystery of the intermingling of her sin in human history, it has been God's great purpose to reach through her life to bring Ruth to Himself. As we stand here together at the crossroads of decision, what way will you go today? Come and renew yourself to the Lord your God. Return to the Lord. Come and shelter under the shadow of His wing. Better to be in His hand than to be far away from Him. Return. The Lord is blessing. The Lord has come to the aid of His people. He wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. Come and return to Him. Return today.